This is Doug Miller. A day is coming when all that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and will come forth. Some under the resurrection of life and some under the resurrection of damnation and judgment. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and delighted, I might add, to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand. It is a joy, it is a delight, once again, to be able to speak into this microphone, to know that this message is going out. I don't know who it's going out to. I don't know who's out there listening. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I don't even know why you tuned in, maybe by accident, maybe on purpose. We are delighted to have you. Delighted. So we are we're in the book of Acts. We are going to take it up. We ended last time at Acts 26, verse 8, and we're going to start there again. Going to talk about verse 8 a little bit to get into the context here, because Paul is defending himself before King Agrippa and King and the governor here, Festus, and their wives and their retinue and all of their hotshot commanders and officers. And there is much money and pomp and circumstance here. And here is Paul, dragged in here. He's been sitting around in prison for a long time, waiting to go to Rome to appeal his case to Caesar. We've been looking at this for some time now. You know, the Jews down in Jerusalem wanted to kill him, and they would have if the Romans hadn't intervened. So here we have Paul, a Roman citizen, and he's answering these charges. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to 26:8, the book of Acts. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out to as many as we can get it to, as far out as we can get it by the grace of God. And we, as you hear me say on here many times, are utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners. You are the only advertisers we have. You are the ones who have an interest in this ministry as much as anyone connected directly to Dialogue does. So please pray for us. Write our names down on your prayer list. Pray that with power I will be able, and with freedom and in the energy of the Holy Spirit, to tell this truth forth and to tell it out so that it can go out and change lives. We would, of course, always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. You say, well, why should I sit down and write you? Well, why not? Why not? If you've been blessed by a Dialogue, if you have questions you wish to ask, if you have specific needs that you need prayers for or help that you need, and you think we can help you or in any way, let us hear from you. Always a pleasure to get letters and to hear from listeners, to know that you're out there, that you're listening wherever you are. And as I've said before, I will assure you, we do not put your name on a mailing list and come back and harass you for money or for anything else. We're not going to do that. And you can rest assured that we won't. Also, we have an email address, and you can Email us if you like. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters again, .org. And if you wish to call me, my telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and don't worry about it. I will get back with you. That's 405-535-9089. Also, I mentioned this once before. Let me mention it again. I am leading a Bible study at the Oklahoma Station Barbecue. That's at 50th and Meridian in Oklahoma City. And it is on the northeast corner. There's a big shopping center there. And it's in that shopping center. That takes place every Monday at noon. If you wish, you are more than welcome to come along, bring your Bible, and sit in on this study. Those that come out have indicated that they have been greatly blessed by it. So come along. Share some time with us. Be nice to have you. All right. The resurrection from the dead. There is, I don't know what many of you out there believe about this. I don't know what you've been taught. I know that, strictly speaking, it would seem impossible that the dead would be raised up, particularly after many years. You die, you go into the grave. Even Martha, 11th chapter of John, said, you know, to the Lord, it's been 4 days. He has started to decompose. No problem. Jesus called him forth in life. And now this was a resurrection, all right. But it was also a resuscitation. Lazarus died again later. But resurrection, think about it. Individual dies, goes into the earth, decomposes, you know, goes back to the dust. Atomically, you know, the atoms that were that person become the dust, become grass, become trees, the cows eat the grass, and so on and so forth. And the atoms are scattered throughout the universe. How does this happen? Well, some of you may say, well, I don't believe it does happen. Well, okay, you don't believe. But I want to tell you this. If there is no such thing as the resurrection from the dead, then it follows that Jesus wasn't raised. And if Jesus wasn't raised, go back and read 1 Corinthians 15. If Jesus wasn't raised, then Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Peter, all of these men, just go down the list. All of these men were false witnesses. All of these men were lying or confused or deluded or deceived or something. If Jesus was not raised, as I pointed out to you last time, this business of the hope, the blessed hope, this business always has to do with resurrection life, and it is always connected with the coming again of the Lord. When he comes back, he will come in the air from heaven himself with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We shall be changed. We shall be changed in an instant. Paul gets to it again in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I am absolutely certain that neither Festus nor Agrippa nor any of these Romans standing here listening to Paul, I doubt any of them really believed this. But I want to tell you something. the Pharisees, of which Paul had been, he was identified with the Pharisees. They believed it. They said they believed it anyway. The Sadducees didn't believe it. And, of course, we saw earlier on a great fight that took place between the Pharisees and the Sadducees when Paul, you know, said, I'm standing here because of my hope of resurrection. Well, immediately the Pharisees and Sadducees started arguing against one another and would have killed him, would have pulled him apart unless the Romans had not stepped in and taken him forcibly out of their hands. So there's no doubt here that the Pharisees believed this, or at least said they did. But as I said last time, there is something more important here. More specifically, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say something about this to all of you who are out there. This guy talking to you right now over the radio is a man I've been for many years in this Bible, teaching it, preaching it. I've been down the road a long time. I've had my ups, I've had my downs, I've had my failures on and on again. I could go on at some length about my shortcoming if I thought there were that there was anything profitable in that, but there is not. If there is one thing in my experience of being a believer and following after the Lord for over 50 years, if there is one thing that has given stability to my life and to my walk, every time doubts came in, every time I was overwhelmed by doubts, it is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I do not have the time right now, nor is this the place for me to go into a lengthy apologetic about his resurrection. But I can tell you this, the facts in this one are overwhelmingly correct and true. They are overwhelming. Historically, the earliest records we have of Christian believers indicate that, you know, very early on, they were out in the streets of Jerusalem crying, "He is risen, he is risen." It was the cornerstone of their message. It was the cornerstone of Paul's message. No resurrection, no eternal life, no gospel. And if you're out there saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the physical resurrection from the dead, I've got news for you, friend. I doubt very much that you're a Christian. I doubt very much that you are saved at all. And I have heard more than once Christians, or people who call themselves Christians, in churches say that they did not believe in the physical resurrection from the dead. There are people out there in the pulpits today, graduates of our so-called seminaries. Why anyone would want to go to one of these places, I don't know. There are teachers in our seminaries. They abound with teachers who do not believe in the resurrection from the dead. Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in God? Okay, what do you believe about God? Do you believe that God is all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing? Do you believe that he is righteous? What do you believe about God? Do you have any belief that, this emasculated gospel that's out there, this God of the seminaries who has no real power and might not even exist at all, and in fact doesn't exist. The God that exists is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God that exists, the God of power, the God of miracles, the God who's in charge, who has never relinquished his authority. That's the God that exists. And if you are out there believing in anything less, I don't know where you think you will spend eternity. But look what Paul says in this eighth verse. Why would it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Well, why would you? if you have any belief in God at all, and if the God you believe in is the God of this Bible, why would anyone doubt that he could raise the dead, that he did, that he called up Jesus out of death, brought him forth with power in the glory of an everlasting eternal life, the first of the immortals, the first one who had gone down into death and came forth never to die again. God raised up his Son, and it is because of that that this guy talking to you has hope. Now, when those Christians were out in the streets of Jerusalem, back there in the first century, crying, you know, he is risen and we have seen him and he's alive, as I think you've probably heard me say on here before, the easiest thing in the world for the Jews to do, who disbelieved this, would have been to go up there and say, well, look, we've got his body right here. Here's where he was buried. There he lays. Why are you saying he's alive? What kind of nonsense is this? That would have been the easiest thing in the world. They could have nipped the whole thing in the bud right there. But they didn't. Why didn't they? Because they didn't have a body. Because the tomb was empty. That's the only possible explanation that I can give you for this. If they had had a body, they would have produced it and put the end to this thing right there. But they didn't. So what's the next thing they did? They said, well, you guys came up, you followers of his, and stole his body at night when no one was watching, and now you're saying he's risen. Well, that's the best they could do, except there's a problem with that. These very ones that they were accusing of lying, these very ones whom they were accusing of perpetrating some colossal hoax and trying to hoodwink and snow everyone, are the same ones who had run for their lives earlier and who now went out and died and yielded up their lives, martyrs, to this cause, this truth that they would not and could not deny. Now, you know very well, let's act like we've got good sense. Men don't go out and die because of a fairy tale, because of something they know to be a lie, because they're the ones who told the lie. They don't do that. Now, here you have it again. If God is God at all, he can raise the dead. Well, let's go on here. What do we got Paul saying? Paul says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, he did. He hated him. He hated these Christians. He hated everything they were doing. Everything they were doing he thought was contrary to his religion. And last time, you know, we have Festus calling it their superstition. Okay, fine. He hated him, Paul did. And I mean, he was out here maiming and killing and murdering. He says in verse 10, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. This guy was bad news, Paul. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Here is a man, I guess the best thing you can say about him was he did mean business, didn't he? He was wrong. He was a murderous killer and a persecutor. And, you know, He thought he was right, you know. He was convinced. He had in hand the Word of God as it existed. I don't know how closely he had read it, but he had it. And he was out to get these guys. We are getting Paul's testimony here now. This is what I was. How many of you have a sound, solid testimony? That's what I was. I am not that anymore. Look at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from the heaven above the brightness of the sun shining about me and them which journeyed with me. If you will notice, every time Paul gives his testimony, that light seems to get a little brighter. It is now, it was a great light. Now it is above the brightness of the sun. And it fell down, and I saw it, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I love this one. It was in the Hebrew language that the voice spoke to him. Now, Paul was a man who understood many languages, no doubt whatever. Greek was his mother tongue. He wrote in Greek. He understood Greek fine. I have no doubt at all that he spoke Latin. And I don't know how many languages this man spoke. He was a gifted man in this area. But the voice that spoke to him spoke in Hebrew. You know, when Jesus was crucified, Pontius Pilate put a sign up on the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The Jews came and said, don't say he was the King of the Jews. Say he said he was the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I've written, I've written. That sign, Pilate put it up in Latin, in Greek, in Hebrew. In Greek, the intellectual language, the lingua franca of that time. In Latin, the language of authority and government. In Hebrew, the language of religion. Paul was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. It is very interesting that God in his grace spoke to Paul in the language of his fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was in Hebrew, Paul specifically says, that this language spoke to him. Why are you persecuting me? Now, you've heard me say before, but here it comes again. The Lord didn't say to him, why are you persecuting my followers? He said, why are you persecuting me? We saw this when we looked at it back in Acts 9, and we've seen it again since then. When you raise up your hand against the followers of Jesus, you are raising up your hand against the Lord. This is the body of Christ we're talking about here. He is the head. He is in vital, unbreakable unity with his followers. And Paul learns that right now and right quick. Who art thou, Lord? He said, and the answer, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Very early on, Paul learned something that he carried with him all through his life. He learned about the lordship of Jesus. He learned about the unity of the body. He learned that God was talking to him. Now, here's something else. Paul was singled out here. Paul was no stranger to God. God knew him all along. This is the Damascus Road experience. We will have more to say about this, I will assure you. But right now there is this to say. Every man, every woman who was ever saved has had and experienced something like this. Something like it. Have you? Are you saved? Isn't it time for you to be saved right now? This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.